from the movie Spellbound from the 1940s. How could you not want to play the theremin after hearing that sound? So I took a lesson with Rob Schwimmer the other day.
As your right hand gets closer to this rod on the right side of the box, the pitch will go up, sounding sort of like this.
The thing everybody loves about the theremin is that you play it without touching it.
On the good days, when you're playing well, you can feel the air.
How does that feel?
It's great.
The air is all there is to feel, because the theremin is played by moving one's hands across space, an electromagnetic field created by a straight metal rod at one end of a box and a curved one at the other. No frets or buttons, no keyboard or strings, nothing at all to make contact with. So you have to fish the notes out of space. These days, the theremin, an 82-year-old instrument, is back in the limelight, having been rediscovered by pop music groups, film composers, and performance artists who admire its sound.
It got a whole bunch of musical instrument designers going.
One of its prime movers in America is Robert Moog, who built theremins in his basement before he developed his own eponymous synthesizer. He now builds and sells 1,000 theremins a year worldwide.
You'd be surprised how many people are intrigued with a way of controlling, and they'll buy a theremin and practice a few tunes.
And beyond that, there is its extraordinary history, which has been the subject of almost fanatical fascination. Albert Glinsky spent 13 years researching and writing his prize-winning book, Theremin, Ether Music and Espionage, and he's curator of a current exhibition on the theremin at Caramore.
This instrument was the first sound, the kind of primal scream, if you will, of the coming together of science and music in the 20th century. That's an incredible thing.
The theremin was invented in the Soviet Union by accident by Leon Theremin soon after the Russian Revolution. Theremin was trying to create a gas-measuring device and found that a siren-like effect was created by his hands as they moved around the electromagnetic field he'd created.
And then all of a sudden, the cellist in him, because he had studied cello back in St. Petersburg, the cellist in him took over, and he said, wow, this is amazing. This could be a musical instrument. And his supervisor came over and said, wow, this is incredible. It's an electronic Orpheus.
Theremin developed and demonstrated his new instrument all over the Soviet Union, waving his hands over the box, playing melodies in the air.
Many people thought it was a fraud. They thought that there was a record player sitting inside the box, something like that. But they were astounded.
The inventor was even summoned to the Kremlin.
In walked Lenin and sat down and looked at theremin and said, what sort of magic have you prepared for us today? And so he demonstrated this for Lenin. And Lenin said, people have to know about this. People have to know that Soviet science has produced this.
So he was sent all over and drew crowds in Berlin, standing room only in the Paris Opera, hordes of people in the Albert Hall in London.
And it was really considered epic-making. People couldn't believe it. He was called a magician in hundreds upon hundreds of headlines. Some of the headlines actually said that his instrument would do away with record players, with pianos, and possibly all musical instruments, and that this was going to be the new revolution in music.
America, of course, was the next stop.
Here he was, a Soviet engineer walking into the jazz age in the 1920s in America. And what many people didn't realize until very recently is that Theremin was also sent on a double mission. He wasn't just a friendly Soviet scientist coming over to show off his bag of tricks. He was also hiding some surveillance equipment and things like that, and he was essentially doing industrial espionage.
So there was the music, the science, the wizardry, and a little espionage on the side, a story worthy of Hollywood. And it was Hollywood that truly embraced the new instrument with a particular performer's distinctive flourish.
Samuel Hoffman, who did most of the, Hollywood scores, had this kind of insane, fast vibrato, like the Day the Earth Stood Still, he played.
Hoffman was the soloist in Spellbound.
That rapid vibrato is kind of like, the sci-fi kind of sound. You hear Clara Rockmore play it, and it doesn't sound like a science fiction instrument. It sounds like a soprano or a violin.
Clara Rockmore, sister to the pianist Nadia Reisenberg, student of Heifetz's violin teacher, is, even after her death, the undisputed mistress of the instrument, in more ways than one. She and Theremin were lovers. And despite claims that this was the instrument anyone could play, by simply waving one's hands one way or another, Rockmore was one of the very few who really played it.
She was the one who developed the first real technical approach to the theremin. It's called aerial fingering. She actually took her open hand and shot certain fingers out and pulled them back, and she developed systems for playing arpeggios that were very sophisticated.
Rockmore made music, and her recording, The Art of the Theremin, is still available. It was produced by none other than Robert Moog.
I mean, anybody can play anything. I mean, you can make a sound on anything. But to make it music, boy, that that's a different story.
These days, music is being made on the theremin across musical worlds, to say nothing of the electronic miles that have been traveled since it was first demonstrated to astonished onlookers by its visionary creator, Leon Theremin.
I constantly have this sense that he's in back of me there helping me, deciding whether I'm doing it right or not and pushing me in the right direction.
I think, finally, when you see somebody playing the theremin, even today, it still has to be captivating. I don't think I've ever met a person yet who saw a theremin performance or demonstration that wasn't somehow tickled. Still, there's something that's sort of perennially fascinating about it, and I think probably always will be.
At the theremin, for WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.